Bibles with us today to the Gospel according to John. We're going to read in chapter 8. That's chapter 8 of the Gospel according to John. And we're going to start in the first verse. Very familiar. I've used this quite a bit and love preaching from it, enjoy reading it. A wonderful story of forgiveness, a story of the love of our Savior. And you can say that probably anywhere in the Bible that you read, talking about Christ's love. This is one of the better examples that I find very plainly spoken. But with that being the case, let us be mindful of the new year as we're facing 2018. We make a lot of resolutions. We're a week in almost to the new year. So if you're like me, probably many resolutions, if you made them, have already gone to the wayside. Didn't even make it a week, maybe. But resolutions, I think, can be a good thing. And think about goals and something you'd like to accomplish in the coming year, in the coming weeks or months. I think they can be a wonderful thing for us, a good time for us to reflect upon the past year and what God's blessed us with. And I hope you've done that. And looking at 2018, I hope that your resolutions are centered around Christ Jesus. For we may have a lot of ideals and plans of our own, but it's really not a life that we live for ourselves, but a life we live for Christ. And that's what the love of God is. When we start living a life that has Christ centered in it, then it draws us into His love. That love is shared with one another, and we certainly understand. Well, if we're not careful in looking at drawing nigh to God, we start getting into this condemnation, condemning. That's what this verse is about, this few chapters. So, or a few verses here in this chapter. So if you want to read with me in chapter 8, the Gospel according to John, starting in verse 1, says this: Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Won't you stand with us this morning as we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? If you would bow your heads with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning thanking You for the reading of Your Word, for this blessed day that You've given us a part in, this Sabbath day, a day of rest, a day that we worship and praise Your holy name. We pray that You would be with us in this portion of the service as we open the bread of life, that, Lord, You'd send through Your Holy Spirit an unction, that we would have the words to say, that we could present them in such a manner that's pleasing to Thee. But then as we as Your people congregated here together, God, would be drawn nigh unto You, that we'd be obedient, open our ears to Your Word, and, Lord, we'd allow ourselves to examine our own heart. And if there'd be some here this morning that is found wanting, some here this morning found living in a life of sin, let this be the day of salvation. Let them be so moved through Your Spirit, through conviction, that they would come to this altar. Let them have courage. Set pride aside. Let this be the day of salvation. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the many blessings in our life. We ask these things up in Your glorious Son, Jesus Christ's name, and amen. So again, the thought that's been on our mind, and Wednesday night we somewhat touched on this, but the thought has been on this condemnation or being condemned. In verse 11, it says, She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now this story is one that doesn't leave a lot of viewpoints. It doesn't leave a lot of debate, I guess. I wanted to use the word argument, but really debate, whatever. You know, we live in a time in life where people like to debate the Bible. They like to say it means this or it means that, and it says this and it says that. And I certainly understand there are interpretations in the Bible, but not to the place that we see in society today. There should not be debates in the Bible. The Bible is plainly written, and we can understand it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we grow and mature, and I do understand that. But if we should be able to be close enough with Christ to understand through His Spirit. But these verses, there's not much to be said. She was caught in the very act of adultery. There wasn't a question about what she had done. This was not the subject here. She was caught in the act. You might have something in your life that you thought, well, I've hid that, but sometime along the ways in the pathway of life that God's blessed you with, God has opened your mind and opened your understanding to that sinful behavior, and you was caught in the very act of a lie or wrongdoing. Maybe it's a sin of omission. You know, the Bible says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So whatever it is, we can. Maybe it was adultery. Maybe it was drug addiction. Maybe it could be a whole host of things. Sin has a plethora of things that it could be. But somewhere along the path of life, God will open your mind through His Spirit, and He will bring to your attention the faults of your life, the sinful nature of the carnal man. And likening to this woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery, your eyes are going to be opened if they haven't been already, and God's going to share with you that you're living in sin. You have a wrong in your life, a wrong that you've not been forgiven of. You've never went to the foot of the cross. You've not asked Christ Jesus to forgive you of this sin. You've never maybe accepted Him as your Savior, Master of your life. So like the woman who was living in adultery, she had been caught in the very act. That's not a debatable topic. That's not something in question. And whether we live in sin or not is not debatable either, my friend. The Bible says we're all born into a world of sin. We're all made sinners by being born into this world. So if you're here this morning, you say, well, Brother Doug, listen, I've never really done anything that bad. Well, listen, you have sinned. And that's about as bad as it gets. But I've never murdered anyone. You've sinned. I've never stole any money from it. You've sinned. You've sinned. Doesn't matter what you haven't done. What you have is you have sinned in your life. You have been guilty. There is no question about it. You have been guilty of sin. The reason Jesus Christ went to Calvary's Hill, stretched His arms out. This man was innocent, let me remind you. This was the very Son of God. We celebrated just a few days ago the birth of a babe. A beautiful story of Christmas time. That you seen the little babe held by the Virgin Mother Mary. This was the Son of God, the only begotten Son. And because, my friend, you have sin in your life, He had to leave the throne of grace, come into this world, and live a life to be scorned, scourged, and made to be put on a cross of Calvary and have a terrible, painful death. Because you sinned. Because I sinned. Because we all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. I assure you this morning that this adulterous woman, although those religious folks may have thought, uh-oh, we've got her now, they were in no better shape than she was. And you're in no better shape than they were. And I'm in no better shape than they were. I mean, I marched into the church holding the hand of the adulterous one and said, look here, everybody. I caught her and she was guilty. All the while, all I'd done is just brought myself to the forefront. See, because they said the law through Moses gave us commandment that we might stone her. They wasn't interested in stoning. The Bible says that. They had no interest in stoning this woman. They had interest in getting Christ Jesus to say something that they could find fault in. Verse 6 said it this way. This they said, tempting Him, the that they might have to accuse him. I've always said, Brother Leroy, I'd like to be in there on the road to Emmaus. I'd like to heard the preacher of preachers. There's a good song that uses that, and I like that. When he came before the two walking along the road, and they said, "Hey, have you not heard?" In other words, where have you been? And he preached to them everything from Moses to then. I'd have loved to have heard that message. I tell you, right from the lips of our Savior, a message about all the stories of the Old Testament from Moses all the way up to then. But I'm not sure I wouldn't enjoy this message just as much. I'd have liked to have been there of the message of silence. When they were looking to tempt him that they might be able to accuse him later, he just stooped back down to the ground and took with his finger and started writing in the dirt or in the sand there. I'm going to tell you, sometimes silence is the best sermon that you ever hear. Because it's in that silence that we hear the Spirit of God that speaks to us. It's that still small voice that Elijah heard. It's that silence that we hear God's voice. He reminds us of our sinful nature and the sins of our life. Not in the busyness of life. Not in the loud things that we see, like the wind and the storms and all this, that we like to find an image of. I've seen pictures where they find an image of God in this cloud and in this smokestack. Listen, that's well and good. If it reminds someone that there's a God, I'm all for that. But let me tell you, when God speaks to you, it'll be by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. He'll talk to you in that still small voice, and we best hear Him when there's silence around us. Oh, they had brought before him a woman who had been found in a very sinful act of adultery. And sure, she had been under the law, had the ability to be stoned and her life taken. But Jesus preached a message about our sinful nature to all those that was there. They said he stooped down and wrote in the sand. Now what are you going to accuse him of? Trying to tempt the Son of God to accuse him. But they, being persistent, said when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." That's about as plain as it needs to be. He said, if you're without sin, you cast a stone. See, we're really bad in society still today, not just 2,000 years ago, but we're still bad about like to point a finger. The church may be the worst. Listen, we like to tell somebody about their faults in life and what they've done wrong and what sins they have. And all the time, those three little fingers are pointing directly back at us because we know we've got our own issues to deal with. And here they brought a woman of adultery, a terrible act. Let me tell you something, adultery is bad. It breaks trust. It tears families apart. It puts children in homes that's going back and forth weekend to weekend between mom and dads. It tears and causes financial difficulties for families. Adultery is bad. So is fornication, my friend. Let me not leave this one out. Boy, what a good morning to preach about fornication, I guess. I've heard it preached and taught that the two are the same. There's not the same. The definition between fornication and adultery in the Bible are not the same. If so, why use two words? Adultery is when you have relations with someone outside of marriage. Outside of a marriage, someone that you have made a covenant, a promise with before God, and you went outside of that promise and you had a relationship with someone else. Fornication is when you have relationships before the marriage. In a society where we like to live, just go out and live it up, go out and do this. Listen, that's not biblical teaching. God says abstain from the very appearance of evil. Abstain from such things. Fornication is sin, just as adultery is. So young person, pay attention. The society does not teach you as such. I've heard it said in go out and enjoy life before you're married.
Are you kidding? I didn't know what enjoying life was until I was married. Be cautious that this world don't lead you astray in the sinful nature of mankind, because fornication is sin just as adultery. So she was caught in the very act of sin, and Jesus said, but let the first among you that has no sin, let him throw stone. And I like this verse that it uses. It really speaks about wisdom of the elders. It says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. Can't you see the young men all puffed up? I can see them now, big shoulders, big chest sticking out there. They come in to take this woman's life. And the elders hearing this message that Christ preached to them in just a few words, they had more wisdom than the young men, and one by one they started just falling out. They couldn't cast a stone. They knew they had sin in their life. But I can see, it's just my opinion, you can flush it out if you don't like it. Listen, I can see those young men all puffed up there like they're going to get something done. There's a lot of you coming to church like that, all puffed up. Listen, Paul, I'm using a good word in the Bible, by the way. Paul said love is these things, but what love is not, it's not puffed up. But a lot of times we walk into church puffed up from our sin. Listen, I've done this, but I ain't going to let no country preacher tell me what I've done wrong. He ain't going to get to me. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't going to be some little country preacher that's going to get your attention. It's going to be the Holy Spirit of God, and it's going to reach down right into the solid time of the day, and it's going to stir your heart up, and that puffed up chant is going to be learned that you're full of sin, my friend, and bound for a devil's hell. But one by one, from the eldest to the last, they just started filing out. I'll tell you something I'd like to see, Brother Wheeler. I'd rather the sinners get up and walk out the back door of the church house with the message of God being preached than to sit there and do absolutely nothing. Do you hear? I know it ain't going to get me a big congregation. Might even get me kicked out. I'd rather you get up and go out the back door than to sit in the house of God and hear a spiritual message and do nothing. Because I'm concerned that your conscience will be seared over and you'll have turned over to a reprobate mind sitting in the front of the Spirit of God with Him touching your heart and do nothing. That's a dangerous place to live, church. I'd rather you got up and walked out the back door than do nothing. But I'd much rather you come to the altar of prayer and beg God's mercy for your sins. How's that going to happen? I'll tell you, when you understand the condemnation. He said when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You want a New Year's resolution? I'll just give you a good one right there. Go and sin no more. He said, I didn't come here to condemn you. John 3:16, we use this a lot. He said, God so loved the world. We know that one, right? He gave His only begotten Son. And then John 3:17 said that He didn't send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He said, they didn't condemn you. I didn't come to condemn you. Go and sin no more. What are we going to do in 2018? I don't know. It's going to be great. God's going to send blessing. We're going to have a wonderful time. It's going to be a good year. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a fantastic year. If we have God's love in our heart. And if we could just look at what He told this woman. Go and sin no more. That's a resolution to hold up to. Go and sin no more. Well, Brother Doug, I can't be perfect, neither can I. But I can strive every day of my life to be as perfect as I can, to be likened into Christ Jesus. That ought to be my resolution. That ought to be what I get up in the morning and say, listen, today I'm going to strive to be as perfect as this old man can be. But by the grace of God, when that time comes and the world gets a hold of me and I fall short, which I have, and I will again, my friend, if God tarries his coming and my days in this world, I've got an advocate. I've got a Father that sits at the right hand of the Father. I've got a great intercessor. He knows that I'm going to have some failures, and he's made a way that I have hope through those failures. But go and sin no more. It doesn't mean to get up and go and have an adulterous affair. It doesn't mean to go out and fornicate. It doesn't mean to go out and do the things that we know are wrong. Paul said, yes, there remaineth no more sacrifice for those that willfully sin. Did you understand? There remaineth no more sacrifice to them that will. You know that it's wrong and you do it anyway. He said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for such acts, my friend. That's a dangerous place to be living when you have thought and you know that what you're about to do is sin and yet you do it anyway. I'm glad that at least you know this morning that adultery is a sin, and you know fornication is a sin. And you know that a lying tongue is a sin. And the next time that you start out to do such an act, you cannot claim ignorance any longer, for God has opened your ears to understanding that's wrong. He said, where's those thine accusers? You ever had an accuser in life? Oh my. If you hadn't, just hold on, you will. Somebody wants to point a finger at you and say what you've done wrong, what you're doing wrong, what you ain't done, what you have done. Somebody likes to tell you all about your life. I almost think they're writing a book about it sometime. Seven people's watching your life is what I understand the studies to teach. Every churchgoer has at least seven people watching your life. Seven people influenced by decisions that you make day to day. Good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't matter. Seven people notices it. Tony works with me. I don't think I embarrass Tony. I know him well enough. Right? We work together. You see a lot. You learn a lot about somebody when you work with them. He's a good man, by the way. But you learn a lot about the decisions that are made at workplaces. Amen? Whether it's me and Tony or whether it's you. And do the making decisions during your daily routine, seven people's watching that. You want me to make you nervous? If you're a leader in the house of God, maybe a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, such a thing, that number jumps up from 7 to 25. 7 to 25. Now watching your life, and if you were to be a minister, you're Brother Willard, you got at least 50 people watching what you do. A lot of eyes watching what you do. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't live your life to please those people. I can't live my life to please you. You can't live your life to please me. You live it for Christ Jesus. But there's lots of folks that want to condemn you for what you're doing. They want to tell you what you've done is wrong and what you're doing is wrong and this and that. I'm going to tell you how we need to live our life as Christians. Live boldly in the Word of God. And live it without being condemning to others, but live your life that through your life, they might see a love greater than anything they've ever known. I want to tell you why the world's not coming into the house of God to be saved, because they're not seeing in the life of the churchgoers something better than they got on the other side. But a true Christian, one that's had a change in their life where the old man has died and a new man has raised up. Listen, that person is full of the love of God, and in that person, the world will be drawn into. Who am I talking? I'm talking about when still at work. Let me go back to work. When something happens, they like to make fun and talk about you and disengage you from certain conversations. But when they need a prayer request, they come running. Brother Kevin, mom's sick. Would you pray for her? Listen, would you just pray for her, Sister Sandra? I've got a need at home over here. Listen, they are drawn to the love of a life of a child of the King. That's what's different. That's the difference in a Christian and the world, is we've got something inside that is a love that they can't understand. It's greater than the things that people ask me. You have revival still? You go 7 nights a week? Listen, sometimes it's longer than that, amen? Sometimes it goes 2 weeks. Every night? An hour a night? Oh no, we're just getting started in an hour. Well, I don't need to do that to be a Christian. Amen. If you're a Christian, you'll want to do that. See, because the house of God would be open and you'll want to be there around God's people. If you miss a Sunday, so be it. If you can't come to church next Sunday, I get that. Sometimes life is busy. Sometimes things happen. If you can't make it, I'm talking about the desire inside of a child of the King is different than those of the world. And the desire for a Christian will be go down to the house of God when the doors are open and be around God's people. Even when you can't be there, the desire will still be lingering. And see, we're not condemning the world by going to the house of worship. We're not condemning anybody and pointing out their failure. We're just living our life before them as God so moves us. And through that love, I'd like to see them drawn by our Savior. See, there's son that's been coming here to Fairview for a long time, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ. I've been preaching on this for years now. Brother Willard even preaches on it. Brother Barry, Brother Troy Coffey, and all the others that's come along the way. Because we love you. Because God loves you. But there's some that's been coming and sitting in a pew here at Fairview and never accepted Jesus Christ. I want you to listen, we love you. Sinner, friend, Christian, brother, love you all. But if you think coming down to the house of God on a Sunday is going to get you to heaven, you are poorly mistaken. If you think signing your name on a membership roll at Fairview Separate Baptist is going to get you into heaven, you're poorly mistaken. There's no church membership, no church attendance that's going to qualify you for the gates of heaven. Matter of fact, there's no work that you can do that's going to get you to heaven. It's going to take a changing of the inward man. You're going to have to make a decision to call on the name of Jesus and ask His forgiveness of your sins. So you can come and you can listen. You can turn a deaf ear. You can just turn away the preaching. You can get the altar call and start getting busy talking to your neighbor. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't choose to accept Jesus Christ, you'll not make heaven your home. See, it's a dangerous game to go to the house of God and continue to listen to the preaching and walk out unsaved. Unsaved. What's it mean to be unsaved? It means you're not on the road to salvation. The Bible says, he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. Am I saved? Not just yet, but I'm on my way. If I made it to the end, not just yet, but I'm on my way. I'm on this journey that God has set me on. And there's times that I make some mistakes. But by the grace and mercy of God, His Spirit shows me when I fail Him. And that's when I go back and say, God, forgive me of my failures. Forgive me of my sins. And He sets me back on that straight and narrow in that pathway of life. But praise be to God that one day there was no condemners around. Everybody had left. And the stillness and the quiet of life, God's Spirit reached down and touched my heart. He said, you're a sinner. You're lost. He said, you don't have any way to heaven. And I knew it. We call it conviction. I was troubled up on the inside. And God used so many people in my life. Brother Troy Grider stood in a podium and preached the Word of God just like you've heard preachers stand in this podium and do. All the while, God is knocking on my door. See, I like the busyness of the life. I like going to work during that time. I like being busy because during the busyness of life, I didn't hear the voice of God so much. But when things would settle down in the evening and at night, and especially at bedtime, oh, there comes the knock. That's the quietness of the day. That's when the condemners had went away. He said, where are those that accuser? They had gone away, for they were sinners themselves. And it was only her and Jesus Christ. I beg you today to get in a place this morning that it's just you and God right now. You and the Son of God that are talking to each other, and God is revealing to you whether you have sin in your life or whether you stand in the center of His love. And there's no better place to be than the center of God's love this morning. In the quietness of the day. He said in Revelations, lo, I stand at the door and knock. Lo, I stand at the door and knock. Maybe it says behold, but He gets your attention. I stand at the door and knock. He that opens He said, if you'll open, I'll come in and sup with thee. Oh, don't you want Jesus Christ to come in and sit down and dine with you today? In this misery of 2017, think back. Don't you want something better than what you just lived through? If you're lost this morning, I can assure you this has been a tough year, miserable at times. Because sin will take you to places that you don't want to be, my friend. And it'll reveal its ugliness to you. And you don't want to live through that again. I can assure you, if you're lost this morning or you're living in a backseat, you don't want to relive 2017. Don't you want something better? The Son of God came to this world and we celebrated on Christmas, the birth of a babe. But He came for one reason, that we might have hope. Hope for a life of living, not of dying. If you're lost this morning, you're dying. Every day that goes by, you're dying. And you're bound for eternity of death. But if you have the love of God, if the old man has died out and a new man, then you're living, my friend, bound for an eternity of life in heaven. But it takes a crossing over from the old man to the new man. You don't want to relive 17. Let 18 be the day, the year of salvation in your heart. Let that still small voice that God is talking with you make a difference. See, you've got to step out and come. For He said it this way. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. What I'm trying to say is you're not going to hide this thing of being a Christian. There's no secret Christians. There's no closet Christians. There's none of this going on. If you're a child of the King, then the world knows it because they've seen a difference in your life. They've seen a change. An old man's died and a new man's raised up. You're not going to hide this from anyone. Matter of fact, if you're sitting there thinking you're a Christian and you're just not telling anyone, I would advise you to re-examine your heart. If you're here this morning and you don't have the love of God, let this be the day of salvation. You care to get the song melody?